We all have God as our Father. We all have one that we can absolutely trust in 100% of the time. And He will lead us literally from glory to glory. He leads us from one realm of wisdom to another realm, from one place of understanding to a greater place. And what you and I have to do is steward what He gives us. Well, hey, welcome back. Glad that you're joining us. Today I want to take, we're going to start in the book of Proverbs. We can only take like a few verses out of each chapter, so it's not a verse-by-verse study by any means. Here's where I want to start in Proverbs chapter 1 in verse 8. It says, "My son, hear the instruction of your father. Do not forsake the law of your mother. They will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains around your neck." And then it goes on to say, "My son, if sinners entice you," et cetera, et cetera. Here's where I wanted to start with this today. Approaching wisdom as a child is what sets us up to learn quickly. We see it in Solomon. If you remember a couple weeks ago, we read out of 1 Kings 3, and he said, here's his response to the Lord. He shows up in the night, and he said, "I'm a little child. I don't know how to go out or to come in." We were just discussing here how old Solomon was when he became king, and the opinions differ, but they range that we know of from maybe the age of 12 all the way up to 20. But the point was, is that he viewed himself not as qualified in and of himself. And I know very few people that feel qualified in and of themselves. In fact, if you feel qualified for what God has called you to do, maybe you haven't yet discovered what God has called you to do, because He has a tendency to put us in a position that's above our head, that's beyond our natural ability and capacity. Really, that's how we learn to pray. That's how we learn to trust. That's how we learn to depend on Him. We see that in the New Testament with Peter, the rough-cut individual being assigned to the Jews, and Paul, the Jewish scholar, being assigned to the Gentiles. It's an unusual process that God takes us through to ensure that we remain people of trust, that we trust Him completely. So here, this thing starts with this whole cry, as a child, absolute dependency on the Lord. Sometimes we grow. Jesus said maturity in the kingdom is to become like a child. So sometimes we actually grow the opposite direction. We grow out of dependency. We grow into great knowledge and great insight, and which I do think is important, but it never should make us independent or remove the element of trust in our relationship with the Lord. And the thing that you find with children is they are dependent on mom and dad putting food on the table. They are dependent on them going to work during the day and being able to pay for the house payment or the rent or whatever it might be. The point is, there's an absolute dependency there that a child has. I was thinking just a minute ago about Psalms 1, Psalms 1, 31. See if I have it here. He says, this is David praying. He said, "Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty, nor do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me." That's an extraordinary psalm from David, who's got to be the most powerful guy on the planet in his lifetime. And yet he is saying he doesn't concern himself with matters too great for him. I think the point is he's not putting himself down. It's not self-degradation. It's not self-criticism. But what he's doing is he's emphasizing something that would become the hallmark of the believer in the New Testament, and that's childlike trust. Is God, I don't consider myself qualified to handle the big matters. So where did Solomon pick up this trait that when the Lord showed up, he said, "I'm just a child. I don't know how to go out. I don't know how to come in." Where did he learn that? He learned that from his father, who was powerful. He was a warrior. He was a priest in the sense that he ministered to the Lord in song. He was a songwriter, an instrument, played multiple instruments. He created instruments. So here's this guy who has the creative side and has the warrior side, and yet he remained as a child. And that's the pattern or the model that was given to Solomon. So when we finally get into the subject of Proverbs, we find this, it starts with this absolute dependence on God, and a dependence on, even in this context, his own earthly father. He starts his own journey into wisdom as a response to his mom and dad's instruction. Now, I realize not everybody watching this has godly parents, or even if you do, we don't all have parents maybe that instructed us in the pursuit of wisdom. So regardless, we all have God as our Father. We all have one that we can absolutely trust in 100% of the time. And he will lead us literally from glory to glory. He leads us from one realm of wisdom to another realm, from one place of understanding to a greater place. And what you and I have to do is steward what he gives us. It means we manage it well. We honor it well. You know, when the Lord speaks to me in the night, man, I don't know if you've done this. I've had times where I've had a dream, I've had something happen, and I think, oh, I'll remember it in the morning. Maybe it's a new tune or words to a song or something. And I think, oh, I'll remember it in the morning. I'm too tired to get up. And in the morning, I don't have it anymore. It's not there anymore, because he's actually looking for those who adjust their life to his pace, to his pattern. That means I change my routine to accommodate him. I don't require him to change his routine to accommodate me. I think that's the life of the child. I think that's what a child does. A child has that kind of dependency. And look where this thing ends, at least for me, in Proverbs chapter 1. It's in verse 23. He says, turn at my rebuke. So here's wisdom speaking now. So wisdom, the point is, wisdom is going to demand changes. Wisdom is going to set a course of direction that's different than the one I'm taking. So when I see that, I have to adjust my lifestyle, my thinking, my prayers, my ambitions, everything. I'm going to adjust to this new direction that wisdom is going to set for me. So he says, turn at my rebuke. Listen to this. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. My goodness, responding to wisdom invites the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This is an Old Testament verse. This is in Acts chapter 2. This is the book of Proverbs telling us, listen, from the very beginning, God had designed our cooperation with his heart and his mind to position us for outpourings of the Holy Spirit. So he says, turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you, and I will make my words known to you. Listen to that phrase. I will make my words known to you. Psalms 25 talks about the secret of the Lord is set up for you and me as a gift. He's put it aside. It's to be inherited, that secret of the Lord. And here he says, if you just respond to wisdom, what does he do? He pours out his spirit on you. And now let me use my language. He releases over your spirit, not only of wisdom, but of revelation to understand his word. It's not in addition to scripture. It's that he highlights what we've already seen. I pray that for you. I pray what Paul prayed in Ephesians 1, verse 17, that God would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and that you and I together would be as children, but completely responsive to the moving of the Holy Spirit and to the highlights that he gives us out of his scripture, out of his word. I pray that for you in Jesus' wonderful name. Next week, we're going to look at the subject of passion and the role that it plays in the pursuit of wisdom. Bless you in Jesus' name.